This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull freaking horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast, my only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Shut up and listen, everyone.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
Oh, God, yeah. Where are the stars of this piece of shit? Oh,
I don't know. It couldn't be us.
Yeah, it couldn't be us. Well, that would... Well, because what you have here is episode 171 of The Lotus Effect, called, with the provisional show title, The Financial Flying Monkeys. And as we all know by now, the show, it's made up. The content doesn't matter. And I'm Phone Boy.
But I'm retired.
Was there... any other time you might have told me this?
Remember me? I'm Phoenix, your co-host?
Yes, well, it's been a long week, honey. Well, no, okay, no, it's not that long. It seems like it's been longer. It's the same number of hours as every other week. Sir Bemrose, yes, I already know what you're going to say. But yes, it is. But yeah, this week kicked both of our asses, I think, so... We'll talk about that in the toast and jam. Meanwhile, I think it is
time to freak out.
Yeah, I think it is time to freak out. And can I freak out? Yeah, let's freak out.
What is this, a freak out?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes, the danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing.
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Okay, I have to address something. So in our little opening montage there, I saw in a meme not too long ago that one of the most scary things as a child is the boat ride scene from Willy Wonka.
Absolutely, I was terrified by it.
Yes, so, and probably something that would still be terrifying, and yet we use it, we freak out, you know, it's kind of cool that we do that, you know, this, but it is, definitely a product of its time. You couldn't do that anymore. I'm sure it'd be like two something, but, meanwhile, you know, we're all affected by the Lotus a little differently and however, and wherever the Lotus might be affecting you, we'd love to hear about it.
I got mail. Yay.
I got you a dollar.
Now, you know, we invest a lot of time in putting the show together, and we operate on the value for value model, which consists of the three T's of time, talent, and treasure. Now, you can send us treasure, and you can do that by going to lotuseffect.show and clicking on the green We Like Money button and sending us cash via PayPal. We're not doing Boostergrams. You know, we talked about that a while back. So we did actually get something we could play this clip for.
Oh, you the executive producer.
So Mama T sent $5 requesting the song from Guns N' Roses called Garden of Eden. Now we can, I think it's also worth mentioning because we like this as well. So, we'll talk about the trip during the toast and jam, but I was about to take off on an airplane earlier this week, and I got the message that hey, the stream needed to be kicked. So Yes, I did that. Thank you, Weirdo, for letting us know that you're listening to the stream and that it needs it. Sometimes it needs a kick, and so I'm quickly typing on a phone in SSH, like going in and jiggling the handle on the stream, so we'll start playing music again. So I think that, but letting us know that you're listening, and maybe when things are not working, it's okay. Let us know. We want to hear from you. I mean, that's part of what that's
it's all value.
Yeah, that lets us know what we're doing is valuable to you, right? So just letting us know that is important. That's we actually we focus on that more than the money because money's tight right now. We got it. There's ways to let us know, right? And you can if you're just coming across this podcast, right? And you've never heard us before, and if you happen to use this thing called Mastodon, you can find both of us. I'm phoneboy at lotuseffect.social.
I'm Phoenix, PHEONIX at lotuseffect.social.
And then you can also send us email at idontgiveafuck@lotuseffect.show.
I monitor it every day.
That's right. You can also snail mail us if you ever as our physical address, and if you need to get it and ask us.
I love getting physical value.
Yes. Now you can also, one of the things we really like is when you come join us when we're live on the stream. And so usually we're doing Rideshare Radio Fridays at 8 p.m. Central.
Last night was an anomaly because, like we'll talk about later.
Yeah, it was.
We literally couldn't never mind even.
That's right. Yeah, yesterday was rough. But we're also here for the Lotus Effect on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Central.
Now we start pre-streaming at 3:30.
Yes. And, another way you can send back the ACK is to call or text 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Yes, that line might be boozy, but... And when Google Voice answers the phone, of course, it'll probably mangle your transcript. And of course, you might ask yourself, well, why the hell am I calling this? Well, usually,
other than to give feedback about the show.
Yeah. Well, we usually have a prompt of some sort. And this week we have an either or, and it's bath or shower. Which way do you prefer to get clean? You know, and sometimes one of the ways, just let us know you're listening. And this is a very simple thing you can do. Doesn't take that long. You can you can call or text it in, or let us know that you're listening. This is one of those ways to do it.
And we do try to put out the subject so you have an entire week in case you forget to do so because you get busy or you get stoned.
And you missed it.
You have like an entire week to call 253-237-3321 and tell us whether or not you like a bath or shower or whatever.
Whatever the previous yay or nay because you might be as we're recording this, it's February 8th of 2025, right? We could actually be you could be listening to this, I don't know, on February 8th of 2026, and you may still want to sound off on it. You can still do that. You know, whenever you're listening to this, if you feel like you want to sound off on it, call or text 253-237-3321. We're here.
And I
want
to point out that licking yourself does not count. You're not a cat. Use soap, use water, some form. I don't care if you're in a river or a lake. I mean, as long as there's a bar of soap involved and you're cleaning your body, that's bath, shower. Let us know about it. Licking yourself does not count, you fucking degenerates.
Yes, but you know what? I think we've explained ourselves pretty well. Let's take it from Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor, I can take it.
Yeah, but we're not going to take this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
The trolls in the troll room, like we said, lotuseffect.chat if you want to become a troll in the troll room that we like hanging out with. We call y'all pedal heads. And of course, the head troll this evening is trying to fuck with us already. We haven't even gotten to our opening segment, and he's already dogging the shit out of us, and we love him for it.
I think he missed us last night.
I think he did too, but he'd never admit it.
No,
in
he
public.
Would never admit it. But I think one thing we can for safe with complete metaphysical certitude is now we're going to get into the health segment, and it will never ever 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 be
brought to you by Pfizer.
Yeah. Well. Okay, now we're going to talk about caffeine, that thing that we like to consume here. Coffee's a food group here at Shea Lotus. And caffeine might have an unexpected effect on diabetes risk.
I don't like coffee. It's a vasoconstrictor.
Diabetes. Yes, now, research on the health benefits of caffeine is often conflicting. The American Heart Association, we know that great outfit, their stance is that while some might be good for us, too much can be harmful, although it admits that even determining what constitutes too much can be tricky.
Coffee!
That's partially because everyone processes caffeine differently, and as a 2023 study published in the British Medical Journal points out, those differences might be linked to our BMI, body fat, and even type 2 diabetes risk. Now, some people are slow coffee metabolizers, while some process it way faster. This paper suggests that these differences, which are genetically determined, were linked to BMI, body fat, and even dementia risk among the 10,000 or so participants whose biobank data they used in the study. Now, genetically predicted higher plasma caffeine concentrations were associated with lower BMI and whole fat body fat mass, the paper reads.
No, brother.
Well, I mean, so it means they were drinking a lot of coffee. That's the way I kind of read that, but what do I know? In other words, the more caffeine was present in people's blood because they metabolized it more slowly, the lower their BMI, body fat, and type 2 diabetes risk tended to be. The researchers added, furthermore, genetically predicted higher plasma caffeine concentrations were associated with a lower risk of type 2 diabetes, and about half of the effect seemed to come from the lower BMI scores among people with more caffeine in their blood. Researchers speculated that the other half might come from how caffeine affects our heat production, thermogenesis, and how we turn fat into energy, fat oxidation. Other studies have also noted a robust association of habitual coffee consumption with a lower risk of type 2 diabetes. And that's not what this paper says.
I clearly don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah, these guys don't. The study did not find a definitive causal link between the amount of caffeine in someone's blood and, say, BMI. Still, reviews of multiple randomized controlled studies have linked caffeine to faster metabolisms, which may promote weight loss. And the authors of the 2023 BMJ study wrote that more clinical research is needed to explore the link further. Oh, boy. Yeah, you know that's...
You know what that is.
Yes. This is... Yeah, we have caffeine streams here at the Lotus Effect.
We certainly do, and they're in full effect.
That's right. Now, especially to counteract the effects of the other Lotus that we... Anyway...
That's not a lotus, even though it is a flower.
That's right. Well, how about we go to the next story? Hey, but we're doing a show?
Did you get lost again? Do I have to put out a silver alert for your brain?
Well, I don't know. Maybe after this next story.
Maybe you're afflicted by this, because finding the best route to beat Alzheimer's?
I can barely fucking remember.
Researchers from Harvard University studied the working lives and causes of death in millions of Americans. After comparing some 400 occupations, they found that taxi and ambulance drivers were the least likely to die from Alzheimer's disease. Being good at finding your way around might help you stick around longer. That's the theory, anyway. Bus drivers, for example, don't seem to have the same protection, possibly because they tend to drive the same routes. Our findings raise the possibility that frequent navigational and spatial processing tasks, as performed by taxi and ambulance drivers, might be associated with some of the protection against Alzheimer's disease, the authors wrote. It's potentially a significant finding because dementia is a big killer. Between 2012 and 2021, I love the way they, did that little anagram there. Yeah. Nothing killed more people in the UK than dementia. According to Alzheimer's Research UK, in 2023 alone, 75,000 Brits succumbed to it. This isn't the only evidence that navigation is good for long-term brain health. Older studies have found that training to be a London cab driver changes the structure of the brain. London cabbies famously have to do, quote, the knowledge, a notoriously difficult test of their grasp of the capital's streets. Researchers at UCL found that when drivers trained for the test, their hippocampus became larger, like a bicep that's done a lot of dumbbell curls. The hippocampus plays an important role in navigation and spatial processing, but it's also the first region of the brain to begin to shrink and fail when Alzheimer's sets in.
Warrior, your life force is running out.
If frequent navigation increases the size of the hippocampus, then it might offer a kind of physical and cognitive reserve that protects you against the disease. It could be part of a broader approach to brain health. There's a caveat to the Harvard study, though. While researchers found that taxi and ambulance drivers were less likely to die of Alzheimer's, they were also more likely to die young.
Only the good die young.
Now that's an issue because Alzheimer's is a disease that becomes more likely the older you get. If people in those professions aren't living long enough to get Alzheimer's, that could explain some of the results. Another thing to consider is that the study looked at historical mortality data. It's likely that more of the drivers considered in the study weren't using GPS to get around. So, like many of us do today. And that's interesting context because these results might change as society changes, according to Spears, who was one of the researchers. He believes we could all do with sharpening our navigation skills, and one of the best ways is to get outdoors.
I like fresh air, motherfucker.
And you're dumb.
Anyway. That's right. If you don't like fresh air, you're dumb.
That's right. Now, yeah, this next story, I saw this and I went, first of all, I knew immediately what clip I was going to play at the beginning of it. We actually, we did something naughty with it.
We zhuzhed it.
So scientists now discover that toxic ingredients are linked to autism in 100% of Girl Scout cookies.
It's Girl Scout cookie time.
Are they made from real Girl Scouts?
Yes, toxic substances linked to autism and cancer are present at dangerous levels in Girl Scout cookies, a study warns.
You're shitting me.
Every sample of cookie tested contained glyphosate. Cue the Monsanto clip right there. The active ingredient in the weed killer Roundup and heavy metals such as lead and arsenic.
Just everything a grown boy needs.
Now, research has shown that the exposure to this herbicide during pregnancy and lactation may increase the risk of autism in children, while the metals have been linked to a range of health problems, including cancer. Now, researchers tested the cookies for the presence of five metals that can be dangerous to human health: aluminum, arsenic, cadmium, lead, and mercury. Approximately 88% of samples contained in all five and nearly 8 in 10 tested positive for levels of cadmium that exceeded the limits set by the Environmental Protection Agency. Meanwhile, 96% were positive for lead.
What?
The health and safety of our customers is our top priority, a spokesperson for the Girl Scouts of the USA told DailyMail.com.
Bullshit.
All Girl Scout cookies are produced by our trusted licensed bakers who are leaders in their industry and adhere to rigorous food safety standards set by the FDA and other relevant authorities. The investigation was published by GMOScience.org, a nonprofit organization that seeks to educate the public about the impacts of genetically modified organisms. The research has not been peer-reviewed.
Tell me this is not a crock of shit.
Now, the researchers tested every available cookie flavor using 25 samples collected from California, Iowa, and Louisiana. All 25 came back for very elevated levels of glyphosate and its byproduct, which is aminomethylphosphoric acid, or AMPA. Now, the acceptable daily intake of glyphosate and AMPA for humans is 1,000 nanograms per gram, according to the National Pesticide Information Center. However, the European Food Safety Authority limits it to 500 nanograms per gram daily.
Don't eat that!
Yeah, don't eat that. The GMO Science study found the highest levels of glyphosate in Thin Mints from Louisiana. Now, based on the test results, each cookie contains roughly 800 nanograms of glyphosate and AMPA. Now, Get ready to ring your bell, honey. The average amount of glyphosate contamination in all samples was 33.43 nanograms per gram, according to the report. There you go. Yes. Now, due to widespread use of glyphosate in agriculture, trace amounts may be found in fresh fruits, vegetables, cereals, and other food and beverage commodities, according to the EPA. Now, this includes crops commonly used to make Girl Scout cookies, such as wheat, sugarcane, and canola. Canola may be another reason not to eat these damn things. But the EPA states that glyphosate is considered non-toxic to humans when used properly, and that trace amounts found in certain food products are not of concern for the consumer.
Yeah, and monkeys might fly out of my butt.
Now, some studies, however, have linked high levels of exposure to this chemical to diseases and conditions, including autism spectrum disorder. Now, it gets worse, folks. The cookies were also contaminated with metal, with the tagalongs being contaminated with 0.875 nanograms of mercury, 531.25 nanograms of lead, and more than 300,000 nanograms or 300 micrograms of aluminum. Now, mercury is a neurotoxin, and exposure to this heavy metal has been linked to vision changes, numbness, loss of coordination, impairment of speech, hearing or walking, and muscle weakness, among other health issues, according to the EPA.
Consult your doctor before using this product. Side effects may include oily discharge, hives, loss of appetite, low blood pressure. If you have diabetes or a history of kidney trouble, you're dead, asshole!
Yes. The vast majority, 96% of the cookies tested contained lead. The adverse health impacts of aluminum are less understood, but according to the Center for Disease Control, I just realized that normally they say the Center for Disease Control and Prevention of your health. Right, which they didn't do that in here in this particular study. So some studies suggest that high levels of exposure is limited to Alzheimer's disease and nervous system damage.
You might die.
Now, the test results also indicate that 76% of the cookies contained levels of cadmium that exceed the EPA limits in water. Now, the authors of the report hope that these findings may create opportunities for change.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah, they probably, nothing will fucking change. We already know.
Not a damn thing. People will still continue to buy and consume these fucking crack cookies for eons to come.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we should talk about the next story here.
You mean we get to shit on GLP-1s again? Woohoo! Well, apparently Eli Lilly is expanding their GLP-1 research to hypertension and neuro conditions. Eli Lilly plans to test weight loss drugs in even more disease areas outside of obesity. On the company's earnings call yesterday, Chief Scientific Officer Dan Skovronsky said it plans to start a phase 3 trial of its GLP-1 pill orforglipron in hypertension. Lilly also plans to study incretin drugs, treatments that target hormones like GLP-1 and GIP, in areas that could include brain health, pain, and neuropsychology.
Many people think of health, when they think of health, they think of physical health. However, studies have shown conclusively that the head is part of the body. if you are crippled with panic attacks or have debilitating depression, you are not healthy.
So this adds to the broad swath of conditions that Lilly has already planned to test its obesity drugs in. It's already reported data on the use of its obesity drug Zepbound to treat sleep apnea and heart failure. It also announced plans to study obesity drugs in inflammatory conditions and substance use disorders.
We'll do anything to be rich.
There's been growing data showing that GLP-1 drugs can enter and exert effects on the brain. Some research suggests these treatments may help patients with neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's and mental health disorders like severe depression and bipolar, though larger studies are needed.
We know from epidemiological studies, which is usually the first step in trying to understand what's going on, that many mental health conditions are associated with the standard, sort of the sad Western diet. But these are just associations. We don't know anything about causality. This is just a hypothesis. So what did the randomized control trials tell us? So just sit back and relax, and I'm going to walk you through every randomized control trial there has been about diet and depression. All two of them.
So Lilly's competitor, Novo Nordisk, is running two large trials of the obesity drug Wegovy in Alzheimer's that are expected to report data this year. Now, the reason I played that diet and depression clip is because, truthfully, this is all interrelated. You know, the Zepbound trials in sleep apnea and heart failure. Yeah, if you weigh less, you have less of a chance to have sleep apnea, which then lowers your heart failure risk. Duh, water's wet, people. This is not a great breakthrough. You know, they're grasping at straws. They really are. Because at the end of the day, if you lose the fucking weight and you fix your diet, all of these conditions are going to fix themselves, or at least lessen to a manageable level. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, by the way, we have some BOTG from Dame Jennifer in the chat about this exact thing. She says, "Bullshit! I was on Ozempic quite a while back, and it didn't do shit for my anxiety or schizoaffective disorders." Well,
good to know.
Yeah, so you know, this is that's good. Yeah, so you know, of course, you know, we've gotten a lot of traction out of that. Out of that sideways drug side effects clip. That's we were commenting about that during when we were placing it, I think, in the script. So, but you know what?
I'm happy because Weirdo has arrived. So
yes, but let's get to the happiness segment.
Let's do it.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Fuck you. That's right. Now, after his beloved yoga ball deflates, the downhearted donkey now has dozens of donated balls from Canadians.
I've got big balls. I've got big balls.
Well, at least she admitted she's going to hell for this one. From Canada comes the story of a lovely, lonely donkey who fell in love with a yoga ball. Captivating thousands with his videos of pushing the yoga ball around his paddock, Earl Grey the donkey received donations of dozens of yoga balls after his first one deflated. Homes for Hooves Animal Rescue Shelter in British Columbia took in a rescue donkey in 2024 that had lived its whole adult life alone, which for a herd animal can be extremely detrimental. His original name was Eeyore, Michelle Singleton, home owner of Homes for Hooves, told CTV News, which kind of tells you he was a sad and lonely donkey.
I think you ought to know I'm feeling very depressed.
Yes, scheduling playdates with other animals didn't go well, but what turned things around was a chance encounter with a yoga ball. After that, Eeyore and the ball became inseparable, and he became so happy he needed a name change. The excitement was just pure joy for him, Michelle said. He just had the time of his life. He had so much fun.
Whee! Wait, wait, wait!
Day after day, he would exhaust himself pushing, biting, and kicking the yoga ball across his enclosure until one day the inevitable happened, a hole, a rush of air, and stillness. Singleton put out a call to action, hoping that because many people opt to make donations to her shelter in cash, perhaps others were storing unwanted yoga balls in their closets and would gladly donate them.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away.
Yes. So donated balls arrived from across the province until Earl Grey was left like a kid in a candy store with more balls than he knew what to do with. The donations, which totaled more than 40 yoga balls, were followed by the arrival of three rescue donkeys. The chance at regaining a herd, which Singleton always hoped would come for the once depressed animal.
I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you.
Yes, having been separated from his kind for his whole adult life, he didn't know how to behave or what was acceptable, and it took 6 months for him to get the hang of, well, donkeying. The CTV News report concludes with Earl finally being accepted into the herd. Singleton has been left with only one concern. Can the new donkeys keep up with Earl's ball skills, and will they form a ball team?
That's so cheesy, but I love this. I can just picture this happy donkey just running across his paddock and, you know, bonking that yoga ball. Like, that brings me happiness. I love this. And I also love these creatures. I truly do. Because while the Czech region is busy planning projects, well, the beavers are doing it for them, which is saving millions.
Well, I know the lovely big brown beaver, and she's stroking them all the time. She brings a picture one day and the third to her smile.
Now, gnawing through tree trunks and bureaucratic red tape alike, a colony of Czech beavers recently built a dam exactly where local administrators needed it. Conservationists
often talk about species or landscapes performing an ecosystem services that benefit human civilization. Now, these beavers in the birdie protected landscape demonstrated this phenomenon to a stunning degree, saving the local government 30 million Czech crowns, around $1.2 million.
Now, management staff in Birdie were looking for planning permission for a dam and reservoir project from the Viltville River Basin authorities, but the process was lagging. That's when local beavers built their dam in the proposed location virtually overnight. When the staff woke up, their problems were seemingly solved. They could not have chosen their location better, according to Daniela Lavarzova at Radio Prague International. Erecting the dams on a bypass gully that was built by soldiers in the former military base years ago, so as to drain the area.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Beavers are said to be second only to humans in their ability to transform the ecosystem in which they live. And the colony is believed to consist of just 8 animals. Despite their numbers, they're remarkable engineers. The military forest management and the Volva River Basin were negotiating with each other to set up the project and address issues regarding ownership of land. Bahoma Fazer, head of the Birdie Projected Landscape Area Admission, told Radio Prague, "The beavers beat them to it, saving us 30 million... What's that currency?
What the hell?
Crowns.
Crowns,
Czech,
yes.
Crowns. So yeah, saving us 30 million Czech crowns. They built the dams without any project documentation and for free.
This must be fucking nice.
Ecologists inspecting the dam said they will last a long time and do the job of draining the area well, while offering good conditions for the rare stone crawfish, frogs, and other species that thrive on wetlands. Beavers always know best. The places where they build dams are always chosen just right. Better than when we design it on paper, said Jaroslav Obermash, head of the Central Bohemian Office of the Czech Nature and Landscape Protection Agency, AOPIC.
I would trust beaver engineering to pretty much anything over anything else, I think.
Absolutely.
You know, beaver engineering, I need to rate that.
Yes.
Okay, so... You know what? I should probably do that while I'm playing the Cavalcade of Stupidity, because it is that time where we have something.
Yes.
From Rev Cybertracker. Here we go.
Heidi ho, pedal heads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertracker's Cavalcade of Stupidity.
Rose and the Arrangement are a band that bummed around San Diego in the 1970s and helped to make Dr. Demento as large as it was, being featured on Dr. Demento's very first compilation album, 1975's Dr. Demento's Delights. Their first single, released in 1973, was a 7-inch 45 RPM. Side A was the presumptive hit, but Side B, the sleeper, was a novelty song about Chula Vista, California, and garnered much more radio play. However, Dr. Demento put Side A in heavy rotation on his show. From their 1973 single, this is Rose and the Arrangements with The Cockroach That Ate Cincinnati.
Don't touch that dial.
that give me a fright. If the subject is horror, I've got to see more, or I won't be contented all night. You may call it my ghoulish obsession. It's a subject on which I get chatty. But the worst one, it seems, haunting all of my dreams, was the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. I've seen ghouls and hobgoblins and witches, and some moth-eaten werewolves with fangs. There were creatures that chattered and others that clattered, and Japanese monsters with fangs. Frankenstein gives me the shakes, and Count Dracula's driving me batty. But they're not on a par with the worst one by far, the cockroach that ate Cincinnati. Oh, he must have needed a seltzer.
Yeah, that by the way, I'm very familiar with this particular track that the Rev Cybertrucker has picked. I've got it. It's one of my favorite tracks from the Dr. Demento archives. Yeah, the Rose in the Arrangement, the Cockroach That Ate Cincinnati. That's a great one. Yeah, so we'll play the full version in Studio 33 as we do. And
of course,
yes. And I think now it is time for the Tales from Rideshare segment.
Well, this week was kind of interesting because it started out with a girl who was telling me a story that Uber had deactivated her account because some dickweed driver had asked. First of all, this really got me because this guy had the balls to ask this girl for her government-issued ID, which we are not allowed to do. Let me just state that first and very foremost. On top of which, she actually was going in her house to grab her ID. This guy literally reported her for being a minor because she looked too young. Problem being, this girl was 19. Uber did not even give this girl a chance. Because when she went to report him for what he had done, he had already reported her for being a fucking minor and they deactivated her account. Nothing she can do. Just sucks to suck. So fuck Uber for doing that shit because that is absolutely unacceptable. And fuck the driver that did that for being a cunt. As, this is why, you know, maybe because I care a little bit less than some drivers about, ooh, I'm going to get fired. Yes, okay. Right now, this is my bread and butter. But I'm following the rules. I'm just not being a twat waffle about it. As long as you can tell me who the fuck reserved that ride or whatever the name is supposed to be that's on the screen, I don't give a flying fuck. If it's you, your mom, your boyfriend, whatever. As long as you give me the correct name, we are going to go from point A to point B and I'm going to get fucking paid. Now, with that being said, there is, and I've spoken of this recently, about the fact that with Uber, there is an option that riders have to record their ride. And what I mean by that is audio record their ride. I find that to be an invasion of privacy. I really do. So if I have because there is a little pop-up when you accept the ride that lets you know that this rider may record your ride. At that point, you get canceled. I've spoken of this before. But here is what I'm getting for an interesting thought. Because I got a safety report against me. And what I found interesting about it was the fact that when given the option, if you will, to dispute this, the only option there was, oh, well, you can upload your own footage to, you know, dispute this claim. And I'm like, wait a fucking tick. It is well documented because anytime that I cancel a ride, that's exactly the option that I choose. When it says that someone might record the ride is I say didn't want to be recorded. And I think it's absolutely ridiculous that this fucking thing is going to sit there and tell me that I got a safety report. I didn't do anything. Nothing the fuck at all did I do. So I think that they're lying. And I think it's a ploy to get drivers to start recording their rides, arguably. Because I think it's a fear tactic.
Yeah, probably.
Ultimately.
I think I kind of looked at this kind of from the legal perspective because, okay, let's say that because they're not providing you any information. So
No, very little.
Yeah, so if they decide to terminate your relationship because of these complaints, well, then you could potentially sue them for wrongful termination and then you get damages and that kind of thing, and go through court. Now, they would probably lose this because then they would actually have to be forced to do that. And of course, now you'd have to have a lawyer and all of that stuff. But
right.
And so that they may be counting on the fact that there's sort of one of two thoughts. Either they're going to they have decided that they're not actually going to enforce this because they realize that if it goes to court, they're going to lose, or they don't care. They assume that, well, anybody that could be affected by this might actually might not go through the trouble of getting a lawyer or whatever. But again, that's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm with you basically that there's probably gambling going on here. And that's, you know.
Well, what I find interesting, and it actually, I think, kind of ties into what could possibly be going on with this. Because I've actually encountered some bullshit, if you will, that ties in with this. Because Lyft is using anthropomorphic Claude AI for customer service.
You fucking bastards.
I have consistently said when I have to deal with the help portion of that app that it's a fucking AI. It's gotta be. There's no way that it can't be.
Yeah, something we found as a story that it kind of was, well, you know, yeah. Are we surprised by this?
No, absolutely not. The
Anthropic,
be...
yeah, it is Anthropic. Yes, Sir Bemrose, you were correct. But
I probably said it wrong.
I'm sure you did. But so I think that's the Tales from Rideshare segment this week, right?
There wasn't a lot of interesting rides. I think the most interesting ride we can talk about in this next segment when we toast and jam.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans.
Yeah, so we would love to hear from you about whether you'd like a bath or a shower at 253-237-3321. We got a bunch we'll play here in the coming segment, but just a reminder to get those calls in. Now my other half here is going to tell us what she's got in the oven.
I'm making like actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
No, we're just going down to Phoenix's Kitchen, and yes, I pre-made this and it will heat itself up because I set my oven to turn on at a certain time, cook for a certain amount of time, and then turn back off. I do love that feature. But I decided to branch out a little bit because I kind of get tired of beef. Let's just be honest. We eat a lot of beef in our house. So occasionally I like to change it up a little bit with some chicken or pork or whatever. So tonight I decided that I was going to take the chicken cheddar broccoli casserole that I usually make and spin it up on its head and create a chicken cordon bleu casserole with chicken and ham and a Swiss cheese sauce to go with the rice. I think it's going to be absolutely delicious. And I also sprinkled some. Now I have to say I'm offended, folks. I could not find a block of Swiss cheese to save my life at the grocery store. I was forced to use pre-shredded Swiss cheese. I'm offended. I have sand against your pedal.
However, that cheese sauce is pretty good.
Oh my God, the cheese sauce is amazing.
Great. Yeah, so.
Yeah, but the potato and tapioca starch that's in that pre-shredded cheese makes me
very much feel dirty and not in a good way. You know, I know my cooking is...
It's like an orgy in my mouth and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it.
Yes.
My cooking is an orgy. Yeah. But
all right. So now we get to talk about what Phoneboy did last week, which was get on an airplane and fly.
That's where the best ride last week came in.
Yeah, that's right. So I had to go about 5,000 miles away to Vienna, Austria to do my day job stuff. This is the time of the year where they actually expect me in person. So that was an experience because we were trying to figure out for you, like, because with what you're doing, you sometimes need help, and it's good to have me and, you know, sometimes in some sort of a contact to maybe do that. But
when we tried last year, my account got locked down immediately because I wasn't aware that you have to let security know if you're going to be logging in from another country. So as soon as Phoneboy logged into my account to take a look at what I had going on, it immediately locked my account down. It was a shit show and a half.
Yeah, we had to. Yeah, so we had to do some of that sort of setup to make sure that I could get in and access her computer from her computer here, so it wouldn't cause any location issues. But anyway, there's a lot of it was a very we had to sort of work out this whole being so far apart because Austria is in the Central European time zone, so it's 7 hours ahead of here. So we were trying to figure out how to sort of run the day, because at one time you were talking about kind of flipping your schedule and you ended up not doing it.
I had talked about while you're up, I'm up, while you're sleeping, I'm sleeping. But the feasibility of that really didn't work for me to be able to do my day job, if you will, and still go to school, etc. So I decided that the best way to run my thing would be when you're going to bed, when you're getting up, I am going to bed. And then, you know, because the majority of your day is spent running around with your ass on fire and your hair catching.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm busy. I mean, I don't have a lot of free time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to hurt you to not be in contact with me for, you know, however many hours until I get up and start my
day. And I can and you can see all the pictures I vomited to, you know, from
right. You like flooded my inbox with pictures. But at the same time, also about midway through my day is when you're going to bed. So like I have that kind of peace in my mind that I've put you to bed. I'm handling my shit. Yeah. And I mean, arguably, much like last year, Sunday, which is when this all went down. Now, as all of you know, Sunday is Phoneboy and I's day. We don't plan things for Sunday. Or if we do, it's something we're doing together because that's our day.
Yeah, but
so having to deliver you to an airport for you to fly, you know, 5,000 miles away from me on a Sunday was a real slap in the face.
Yeah, it was. And so we had to sort of work through a lot of there's some
I was completely in pieces. That's just all there was. Yeah. I just couldn't function.
Yeah. So, but you were able to sort of get over that. And the next day,
sleep actually did well for me in that regard.
Yeah. So, and unfortunately, so I'm trying to think of some of the stuff that I can talk about that's not too inside baseball. So I actually, my day job does these conferences every year, right? And they do them in different locations, and I'm part of the production team for it, so I tend to go and go do my thing, right? And go be a celebrity and do all of the things. But so we went to there's a user group meeting, one of the Swedish they have a regular user group that's existed for before we were doing our stuff, and so that would they I got invited to go down with some of the folks from R&D and talk to some of the customers, and outside there was some snacks and I think I had gotten some nuts. And I had an original Budweiser, the Budweiser from the Czech Republic, which is not too far from Vienna. But anyway, I had come in on that morning because it was a Monday, right? And I had landed on Monday morning. I didn't really sleep well the night before, and I was having allergies on the plane, and so I was having potential problems. And then all of a sudden, I ate something, and I think it was something nut related and something I hadn't eaten before. And I actually it's like I was having trouble breathing, and the side of my face was all swollen, and I wasn't sure what to do. I actually had to take Benadryl, folks, to clear this stuff up. And
which, of course, totally fucked your sleep schedule on top of the 7-hour time difference, jet lag, just, oh my God, so bad.
Yeah. So yeah, the best night of sleep I got while I was there was the night that I was leaving. So that's pretty much that should tell you how it went. I did not get a lot of sleep, and I did not go crazy. I mean, because these things, there's usually, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to go out and consume large quantities of alcohol, which I did not do. The food, holy fuck, the food. The food in Vienna is not too bad. I mean, you know, I had more than my share of charcuterie while I was there. That stuff is quite nice. The breakfast at the hotel is actually pretty nice I had to do my work, but you and I had to figure out how to be apart and still sort of remain, and I think we worked through some of the issues with that. I think it is getting a little easier for you to be, I mean, not that I want to be gone from you all the time, but as you go through it, as we have to do it from time to time, it hopefully gets a little easier.
Yeah, I think my most often uttered statement was, "What part of this sucks my ass?" Because being apart from you, I had to do shit that I didn't have to do last year, arguably to the same degree. Because I have 4 classes I have to maintain. Now, of course, one of them is why we have SQL Sunday, because I spend the entire day doing my SQL, assignment. But then, you know, I have the in-person class Tuesdays and Thursdays, which those 2 days were encompassed of you being gone. And I still have to keep up the other 2 classes that are online. I mean, it's a heavy weight to carry, especially when you're kind of not solid on your legs. Matter of fact, in Studio 33 today, after we get all the post-production done, I'm actually going to be in my office working on a 146 question quiz for the Linux class that is actually due at like 11:59 Eastern time tonight. So there is no fuck around for Phoenix. I have to get this done before I can party with the pedal heads.
Yes, so... Yeah, and actually, I do. One of the things I did do on the way back, and so we also, like I said, we had some, we had to work through our personal landmines while we were going through all of this. But I think I had come up with a new playlist that I'm going to play tonight in Studio 33,
yep.
Which I will. So we've got, yeah, we have a lot of music queued up. We'll of course take requests, but we're going to be, you know, like I said, I actually have a playlist of stuff to play tonight because going through like this, I think I kind of realized some things that may have contributed to, you know, the way my particular my last sort of relationship sort of happened with kids and everything too, and so just gave me a different perspective on it. I don't have any regrets, of course, about having done anything, but I can see how some of, you know, well, and again, it was a behavior that was probably established by some other folks, but I can see kind of, you know, this is a result of that kind of thing. So it got me to think about some music, and anyway, so that's how that came out. So we'll play that in Studio 33. But I think now we can go to the A&A segment.
I think we can as well.
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
To 253-237-3321. Now, we had a couple of people text in either through the back channel or on the Lotus line.
We did.
Yeah, so you want to read the...
Sure. Rev Cybertrucker said, shower to get clean, bath when I'm sick. And I'm pretty sure that you said that our topic is bath or shower. So that is what we're talking about here. Now, Mama T weighed in, said shower all day long. I would love to take an all day long shower. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the I'm kind of with Rev on the because I actually during the last week at the hotel I took a bath at least once.
Right.
Because unfortunately it really did sort of. Yeah, I had to slow down a bit because I was I was between the lack of sleep and the allergy stuff really, and like the Benadryl just really kind of fucked with me. So I needed it. I actually took a bath in the past week in a foreign country. So I'll take a bath if I really feel like I need it. But the rest of the time definitely a shower. That's kind of the way that goes. But all right, now let's see what our pedal heads had to say.
Let's see.
I'm answering whatever I answered for last time about chips and chili and whatnot. So just heat up the chili, throw some spices in there and whatnot, and till that's all going, throw some like Mexican two-part cheese or whatever shredded cheese in there, throw some refried beans in there, probably more garlic powder and whatnot, and then eat it and then just throw a bunch of hot sauce in there. Over and over and over and over and over and over again as I'm eating it, and then just eat it with the chips. So there's, definitely just eat it with the carbs and drink the beer. So, yeah, that's how we do it. So that's how I do it. So anyway, I don't have to say everything, but I guess I have to because it's just a rule. I love a guy, stay dangerous, and whether or not it's fleeting or sandy outside, or windy, or rainy, or some sort of climate, weather, what are we calling it out, eh? Thing. Go ahead and give a hearty, hearty.
Ka-ka!
Thank you, Mr. Christopher Battles. Appreciate that particular
nom
recipe. That's totes McScroats happening.
Yeah, that
in
is
Casa
happening.
Lotus.
Okay, so
that sounds delicious.
So we called again. So we called again a few days later here, and so we're going to play this one.
Okay.
The first time you were ever in a bathtub and your sibling pooped in. Oh, wait, that's not the question for this week. Hello, Phoenix. Hello, fun boy. I'm shower bath. I mean, dude, like, I'm over 6 foot. So, shower. Just practical. All that jazz. Last time I took pretty much the only time I've ever really taken a bath is really just if I was, like, hurt or something. Like, I couldn't, like, get my leg wet or something like that, I think. Trying to recollect through the weeds right now. Yeah, I don't even, probably with the wife, I guess. I think we were able to get a bathtub or two. I mean, we've gone places, but, yeah. That was the last time, but, yeah. Every time before that, I think, like, man, I was like a kid, maybe had chicken pox, and then I think something like why it hurt my leg or something. I had to keep my leg elevated or wrapped up or something like that. But, just shower. But then it's funny because they'll tell like my nieces or nephews, and geez, the nieces, but they'll be like, and you guys take a shower, and they're like, we don't take showers, we take baths, kind of thing, because that's what they do. They're at that ages. So, anyway. Enough about me. What about you? Oh, wait. You guys are already talking about you. Blah, 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 blah. We're eating this. Blah, 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 blah. Drove this. Blah, 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 blah. Homework. Blah, 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 blah. You know, whatever. But that's why we come back. It's for the blah, 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 blah. I mean, it's enjoyable. So, anyhow. Well, we're having some friends over tonight and just noshing on some stuff. And wife made some hummus and whatnot. And just hang out and talk and recollect and I play some game or something like that. Games, I don't know. They're more into the games than I am, so. But anyway, that's it. So, go out, see people, do stuff, break out of the cocoon, because it's not my natural thing. Anyway, love you guys. That dangerous. And whether or not it's a Friday afternoon, or it's a Saturday, or it's another day and you're listening to this, I don't know. Just, you'll figure it out. Love you guys. Stay dangerous. And whether or not I said all that stuff, or I didn't say all that stuff, go ahead and give a hotty hotty.
Thank you. That was great.
That was beautiful.
That is beautiful. And we have Recollect Through the Weed as a potential show title out of that.
Which makes it so hilarious because we know that Mr. Christopher Battles is not a partaker of the 420 plant. So that made it even better.
Okay, well, we have this pedalhead right here.
Hey, y'all. Showers or baths? I do both. Showers, I'm always on the go. You know, quick, easy, get your body clean. Baths, when I just want to lay back, relax, and just let all the stress go away. So, love you guys. Talk to you guys soon. Hope you have a great show. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. There we go. Now we have another one here. We're going to play this one.
Right.
Hey, y'all. I prefer showers myself. Baths, I feel, aren't very relaxing because I don't have a very big bathtub. So it's like I don't have enough room to stretch out and really soak. I'm just kind of sitting there. And I don't have a rubber ducky or shower crayons anymore because I'm grown. But, yeah, I like a nice, long, luxurious shower and, you know, do all the girly things and all the girly scents. So, yeah, talk to you later. Bye.
You know, Dame Jennifer, I can send you some of those shower crayons if you'd like. We can be bath buddies.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
That doesn't sound pornographic or nothing.
No.
What is wrong with this show today?
Have you listened to the show?
I listen to it every week, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, how is it that Bemrose, when he's doing a podcast with a certain partner, that he's not listening to his partner?
Because nobody listens to that partner.
Okay. Let's play this next voicemail.
What's showers or baths?
Well, baths are not to get clean. You're just sitting in your ass water. Showers are to get clean. Baths are to soak and... Well, I don't know, whatever you choose, like Epsom salts or essential oils or coconut oil, stuff like that. Their showers are to get clean. Yeah. Yep, I think that's all I got to say on that. Bye.
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 Jesus Christ.
Oh. I don't disagree. An Epsom salt bath or an essential oil bath and whatnot.
But the stuff that Bemrose is putting in the chat, I would not. No, zero stars would not recommend any of that stuff.
No, I'd throw some cannabis oil in my bath, but the battery acid goes in the bath only if your ex is in there first.
Yeah, exactly.
As does the glyphosate.
All right. Well, all right. So I think it's time.
After that, I think we need to get high.
I'll take a drink, and my name's Smoke Little Reef. You know, I like to smoke reefer. You know, it relaxes me and everything. A couple of doobies, you know, just to get you through the day and everything. But I do not freebase cocaine.
Well, we do not freebase cocaine, but we do enjoy the holy herb here. And apparently frequent cannabis use may damage working memory and decision-making skills.
This is a result of your action, dumb fuck.
More frequent use of cannabis may impair working memory, which could lead to problems with everyday tasks, according to a new study. Working memory involves the ability to keep a small amount of information in the brain while performing a task, according to Natalie Clagg, MD, the assistant professor of psychiatry at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center in Columbus. It's not just remembering the information, but being able to use it. This can include things like following instructions, making plans or interacting with others in society in appropriate ways, and those who are not involved. Oh, I'm sorry. This is according to Clagg, who was not involved in the new study.
Shut up, slave!
Then what the fuck is she even weighing in if she wasn't involved in the study? Shut the fuck up. So someone with impaired working memory may have difficulty following directions or completing a task that has multiple steps, she told Healthline. They may also have difficulty with remembering questions or points in conversations long enough to wait until it's their turn to speak, she said. Or they may have difficulty with complex reasoning that involves considering multiple pieces of information to make a decision.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
The observational study, which was published January 28th in JAMA Network Open, does not prove that cannabis harms the brain, so the results should be viewed with some caution. However, the new study adds to the scientific evidence that long-term cannabis use may affect cognitive abilities, including memory.
You don't remember what you've done the night before.
Researchers found that heavy lifetime use of cannabis was associated with reduced activity in areas of the brain involved in working memory with a small to medium effect. This connection remained even when researchers excluded people who'd used cannabis recently, based on the urine test. The results weren't affected by how much alcohol participants reported drinking, according to the researchers.
The first purpose of alcohol is to make English your second goddamn language.
Recent cannabis use was associated with poor performance on working memory and motor or movement tasks. Researchers found, but this link went away when researchers did an additional statistical analysis. However, they wrote that abstaining from cannabis prior to cognitively demanding situations will likely help with performance. Duh. It's not clear how long people should abstain from cannabis, but the researchers point out that the effects of cannabis on cognitive abilities may last for 2 to 4 weeks.
This is drugs. This is your brain on drugs. Any questions?
Yeah, you got bacon to go with that shit?
Yeah, exactly.
So researchers also looked at whether people had a diagnosis of cannabis dependence and found this wasn't related to changes in brain function. One limitation of the study is that it didn't look at which types of cannabis products people used or the strength of these products. And also, because the study focused on young adults, the research may not apply to other age groups. So in other words, more research is needed. And we're happy to keep conducting that research. Granted, they are N equal one experiments, but they're research nonetheless.
So, I think we're happy to keep performing that research.
I am more than glad to help.
Yes. Although I will say that sometimes during the conversations that we have, I frequently.
Oh, yeah. You are exactly who this study was written for, because we can be having an active live conversation and you are baked as fuck and you'll just be making a point and then be like, what was I talking about?
Yes.
I lost my place. I'm like, are you fucking, you were literally just.
Yes. So I know. Okay. Well, what's worse for your health, booze or weed?
Alcohol. Smoke weed every day.
Now, a renewed focus on alcohol's health effects have rekindled a common debate. Is alcohol or marijuana worse for you? Sorry, folks, but the short answer is that both can be bad. Now, the reality is, if you're really worried about your health, you wouldn't use either of them, said Ryan Vanderlei, a professor at Johns Hopkins University who helps run the Cannabis Science Lab.
Science!
Now, the longer answer, the question is complicated by the fact that alcohol has been widely studied for decades, while research into cannabis, particularly in edible form, is still catching up. People are pretty mindful of the fact that if they drink copious amounts of alcohol over longer periods of time, they will have health effects, said Stacey Gruber, director of the Marijuana Investigations for Neuroscience Discovery Program at McLean Hospital in Belmont, Mass. Cannabis isn't as clear in terms of the literature.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Yes, there are certain negative effects that both substances share. They impair short and long-term cognitive functioning. This impairs judgment, attention span, and coordination, raising the risk of vehicle accidents, falls, and other injuries. Now, both can also become addictive and can have significant mental health consequences, particularly when overused. Now, some say THC, the psychoactive compound in cannabis that gets you high, doesn't disrupt sleep the way alcohol does or result in a hangover. But doctors say it can leave some people groggy the next day. Yeah, especially if you get some of that pee shit in your system. Cannabis may be lower in calories than alcohol, but both substances can have the net effect of causing people to eat more, in other words, the so-called munchies.
Ooh,
look who knows so much, huh?
Now, alcohol is in the hot seat. The former U.S. Surgeon General recently called for alcoholic beverages to display cancer warnings due to its long-standing links to 7 kinds of cancer, including breast and colorectal cancers. Now, marijuana's links to cancer are less clear-cut. There is evidence that smoking or vaping THC can increase the risk of cancer, and an August study in JAMA or Anthology, Head and Neck Surgery, compared patients
Ornithology? That's the study of fucking birds, you dingleberry. Oh, okay. What the fuck?
Yeah, you try to say that fucking word.
Otolaryngology.
Yes, okay. Oh my god.
Otolaryngology. Basically, it's not about birds.
Yes, it's not about birds. Anyway, compared with cannabis use disorder to those without, and found that they were 3.5 to 5 times more likely to be diagnosed with head and neck cancer. Yeah, because they got the fucking munchies and ate sugar.
What we know about cancer is 2 things. 1, insulin provokes the growth of cancer cells.
Really?
2, what cancer eats is sugar. So you put people on an agricultural diet, they're going to get cancer. This is why cancer is unknown amongst hunter-gatherers.
Truly?
Even until the 1950s, you can read statements in medical journals. Well, we all know the Eskimo don't get cancer. That's why they weren't eating agricultural foods.
That's right. And Dr. Niels Kokut, a head and neck surgeon at Keck Medicine of the University of Southern California and senior author of the study, says his research group is now analyzing data looking at cannabis use disorder and lung cancer and intends to look at other non-inhalation cancers too. Vandry notes that while smoking cannabis is linked to lung issues, consuming edibles doesn't carry the same risks for the lungs, though it remains unclear whether chronic use could lead to cancer or other diseases over time. To link that with long-term cancer risks takes 20 to 30 years of research, he said.
So much later that the old narrator got tired of waiting and they had to hire a new one.
Now, Gruber says it is difficult to compare alcohol, which is a single molecule, to cannabis, which is a multi-compound plant and used in many different ways for different reasons. Most THC products also contain other cannabinoids, and there's some data that suggests that certain cannabinoids can be helpful against cancer.
They're trying really hard to make their case. They're just failing, just really, really bad.
Yes.
Just bad. Just stop. Stop trying to vilify this plant. Recognize that alcohol is a lot more dangerous for you than marijuana.
God, man, alcohol's a crutch.
Seriously, I'll say it again for those in the back. How many deaths a year are attributed to drunk driving, and then how many are attributed to being stoned? Don't worry, I'll wait. It's not equal. It's not even close.
Well, okay, I think it is time for us. First of all, I think probably Bemrose needs more liquor. I'm sure he that's what his thought is right now. And second of all, I think it's time to maybe go to the back of the napkin. What do you think?
I think it possibly is.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Have you tried sticking it up your arse?
That would be a Lotus Tech tip right there.
Yeah, we actually finally have created a list for that because we sometimes come up with them. I forgot what the one that we came up with last time. I think it was, it's not just turning it on off and on
like
again.
Like when in doubt, reboot something?
Probably, yes. That's probably a Lotus Tech tip. I should probably write that down. But anyway, you should probably...
Anyway, we're going to talk about how Go Module Mirror served a backdoor to devs for 3+ years.
It just changes the way that we access those vulnerabilities.
A mirror proxy Google runs on behalf of developers on the Go programming language pushed a backdoored package for more than 3 years until Monday, after researchers who spotted the malicious code petitioned for it to be taken down twice. The service, known as the Go Module Mirror, caches open source packages available on GitHub and elsewhere so that downloads are faster and to ensure they're compatible with the rest of the Go ecosystem. By default, when someone uses command line tools built into Go to download or install packages, requests are routed through the service. A description of the site says the proxy is provided by the Go team and, quote, run by Google.
You can just do it in the goddamn browser. How about that?
Since November 2021, the Go module mirror has been hosting a backdoored version of a widely used module, security firm Socket said Monday. The file uses typo squatting, a technique that gives malicious files names similar to widely used legitimate ones and plants them in popular repositories. In the event someone makes a typo or even a minor variation from the correct name when fetching a file with the command line, they land on the malicious file instead of the one they wanted. A similar typo squatting scheme is common with domain names too. The malicious module was named boltdb-go/bolt, a variation of widely adopted boltdb/bolt. Wait a minute. I'm looking at this for just 1 second.
I see, because
it's the dash go. Which 8,367 other packages depend on to run. The malicious packages first appeared on GitHub. The file there was eventually reverted back to the legitimate version, but by then, the Go module mirror had cached the backdoored one and stored it for the next 3 years.
You didn't see that coming?
There were other things designed to draw developers to the package. One was that the README file accompanying boltdb-go/bolt is a copy of the one from the original benign package. Another is that the original package had been archived. Developers frequently choose active forks over older versions. Others may be deceived into thinking such a malicious package is the original legitimate one.
You dirty son of a bitch!
The backdoor snuck into the module, constructed a hidden IP address and port, and connected to an attacker-controlled server. It would then execute whatever commands the remote server issued. The server IP address, hosted by Hetzner Online, had a trustworthy reputation. The Socket researchers suspect the infrastructure was procured specifically for the campaign to avoid detection. Unlike indiscriminate malware, this backdoor is designed to blend into trusted development environments, increasing the likelihood of widespread compromise before discovery, they wrote.
Don't look over here.
Nothing to see here.
Ooh, look at that.
Now, after discovering the module, Socket petitioned last Friday for it to be removed. Socket petitioned once again on Monday, and the package finally came down. Took them fucking long enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sitting here while you're reading these stories. I'm actually thinking about this because this is the kind of stuff that you're actually talking about in one of your classes, right?
This is why I actually am glad that I got to do this story, because I know exactly what typo squatting is and how it works. And
yes,
interestingly, that, you know, this is yet another story that I will probably print out and bring to Professor George, because it's very interesting to learn about.
Yes, exactly. It's an example of a supply chain attack, actually, I think is probably the best way to describe it.
Using
typo squatting. Now,
for anyone who doesn't know, okay, for those out there who are not all tech savvy and everything, the DB in that particular address stands for database, which is why this is so fucking dangerous.
Yes. Well, okay. I think what's even more dangerous is that Google's going to start tracking all of your devices in 10 days.
You are being watched. The government has a secret system, a machine that spies on you every hour of every day.
Yes, and it's named Google. It has a tracking problem. Now, nowhere is this more acute than with Chrome, the world's most popular browser and front end of the company's marketing machine. Last year, Google reversed its decision to kill off the tracking cookies that follow Chrome's 3 billion users around the web. Now, that was bad, but you're about to get something even worse. Now, while there's no agreed end date to tracking cookies, they're likely a next step. Now, Google has teased a one-click solution for users to stop being tracked. Think of this as the equivalent to app tracking transparency developed by Apple, which gave Meta and others a serious bloody nose. But Google doesn't need tracking cookies itself. It almost certainly knows who you are because you hold one of its accounts.
Well, no shit.
Yeah. And so as cookies give way to please don't track me global prompt, Google will have to convince the marketing industry that it hasn't gained a huge advantage at their expense. But it's not all bad news for the wider ecosystem. If tracking cookies are controversial, they're nothing compared to digital fingerprinting. And that the industry is about to get back this favored tracking tool that's been banned for years.
Oh, God, here we go with this shit again.
Yes. Now, digital fingerprinting combines multiple user data signals collected on device, building a profile that transcends websites to identify you in everything you like and are likely to buy. Even Google has slammed this tracking in the past, warning it subverts user choice and is wrong. Now, somewhat surprisingly, then, it's about to return, and this time it'll move beyond the web to the smart devices you own, tracking you everywhere. Google has two arguments for bringing back digital fingerprinting and allowing it to be used across devices. Devices rather than just web browsers. First, it's the broader range of surfaces on which ads are served. This means TVs, gaming consoles, and other smart devices in and out of your home. Second, it says that there are privacy-enhancing technologies that unlock new ways for brands to manage and activate their data safely and securely while giving people the privacy protection they expect.
Go nuts and strife.
Yes, the UK data regulator strongly disagrees, as do we. Fingerprinting involves the collection of pieces of information about a device's software or hardware, which, when combined, can uniquely identify a particular device and user, it says. Warning, this is not a fair means of tracking users online because it's likely to reduce people's choice and control over how their information is collected. The chart change to Google's policy means that fingerprinting could now replace the functions of third-party cookies.
C is for cookie. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, the regulator warns that fingerprinting relies on signals that you cannot easily wipe. So even if you clear all site data, the organization using fingerprinting techniques could immediately identify you again. This is not transparent. It cannot easily be controlled. Fingerprinting is harder for browsers to block, and therefore even privacy-conscious users will find this difficult to stop.
Stop the hammering!
Now, this combines into a lot of moving parts for digital tracking, and so the UK regulator has just issued a strategy to level the playing field for online tracking in 2025. They want to see a fair and transparent online world where people are given meaningful control over how they are tracked online. It's sound and laudable vision, but with tracking cookies and digital fingerprinting still here, well, we wish them the best of luck.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!
Now, fortunately for Google, those worried about tracking have just been distracted by the controversial decision to disappear its self-imposed restrictions on AI surveillance. So February 16th will likely come and go with little fuss. But if you do care about such things, you've been warned. From that date, Google will be less prescriptive with partners in how they target and measure ads across the broader range of surfaces on which they are served, such as connected TVs and gaming consoles.
You're a googly moogly.
Yeah, something to keep in mind is, you know, in the dystopia.
As if Google wasn't gross enough, here's another prime example of why you just should say no.
Yes.
And honestly, turn off fucking JavaScript.
Yes, well, I think it's time to head to the junk drawer. What do you think?
Humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems, like garbage, which had been stacked for centuries.
And for all of you out there with a major case of TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome, because I'm sure you'll be screaming, it's Trump's fault, when I tell you about how the USPS is temporarily suspending some inbound packages from China and Hong Kong.
Access denied.
The U.S. Postal Service said Tuesday it's temporarily suspending all inbound packages from China and Hong Kong posts. The change is effective immediately and will remain until further notice, according to an alert posted on the agency's website. Letters and large envelopes, referred to as flats, sent from China and Hong Kong won't be impacted, according to the USPS.
You think this is okay?
The announcement comes after President Donald Trump on Saturday signed executive orders imposing tariffs on China, Mexico, and Canada. Trump, on Monday, agreed to hold off on imposing 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico for 30 days, but the additional 10% tax on goods from China remains.
China is asshole!
A provision in the orders eliminates a popular trade loophole known as de minimis, which allows exporters to ship packages worth less than $800 into the U.S. duty-free. The de minimis provision has been a critical tool for Chinese e-commerce firms, including Shen and PDD Holdings Temu, as they look to grow their presence in the U.S. by offering rock-bottom prices on everything from clothes and furniture to electronics and home decor.
Oh, it starts with sweatshop labor in a foreign factory and gets packed on a vessel and shipped over the sea.
The U.S. processed more than 1.3 billion de minimis shipments in 2024, according to data from the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency. A 2023 report from the U.S. House's Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party found that Temu and Shen are likely responsible for more than 30% of all packages shipped to the U.S. under the provision, and likely nearly half of all de minimis shipments originating from China.
This is such a crock of shit!
Lawmakers have argued that de minimis imports give Chinese companies an unfair advantage by allowing them to bypass tariffs. Trade officials have also said that de minimis packages are subject to minimal documentation and inspection. Trade organizations and advocacy groups have pushed Trump to curb de minimis shipments because they contend it has allowed illicit drugs such as fentanyl to enter the United States through the mail.
Drugs? I'm not taking any drugs.
I am going to be very unpopular with what I'm about to say, and I really don't fucking care. But I truly believe that the tariffs that President Trump is imposing need to be imposed. I think we need to bring our fucking commerce back to our country, make America fucking great again, stop buying from these fucking Chiners and all these other fucking slave labor, kid-run factories where the quality is shit, everything fucking breaks as soon as you get it home. Bring back the manufacturing to this country. Put people back to work. That is my rant for the moment.
Okay, for the moment? Well, maybe we'll, okay. So I think maybe it's time to explain maybe how, why the fuck do we have all these IPAs that you can blame a tiny Bay Area beer festival for it?
Bear, 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 bear. Bear, 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 we love bear.
Now, Vinny Chiruzzo, owner and brewer of Russian River Brewing Company, remembers getting a call from a friend in Hayward asking if he could make a super hopped brew for a new beer festival he was planning, and he obliged. Neither one knew they were about to set off a beer revolution.
Say you want a revolution, well, you know.
Yeah, well, that's how they did it, honey. It was a very overmodulated clip. It's crazy to think that that 25 years ago, that was 25 years ago, said Chiruzzo, who brewed his first version of the famous double IPA Pliny the Elder for the occasion. I don't think I've ever had that. Hayward's double IPA festival, which was founded in 2000, returns this Saturday, so it's happening right now.
Today.
Probably. Yes, to Main Street with a lineup of over 80 intensely hoppy beers from all over California and beyond. What began as a small gathering with a handful of participants inside a pub called the Bistro has grown into a large outdoor event that is credited with popularizing this style of beer and launching craft breweries like Russian River into the national spotlight.
Move on! Nothing to see here! Please, Pittsburgh! Nothing to see here! Please!
Yes. Now, the event is often considered a preamble to San Francisco Beer Week, which arrives February 21st, though that event wasn't founded until 2009. Now, double IPAs make a big impression on Vic Kreij, an owner of a bistro and the event's organizer. Now, when I first tasted them, it was like an IPA on steroids, he said. Now, while India Pale Ales get their flavor from a generous dose of hops during the brewing process, double IPAs amplify the herbal flavor with an extra helping of them.
I'm Hans.
And I'm Franz.
And we want to pump you up.
Yes. More malt is also used as a base for the beer, making it fuller bodied and higher in alcohol. Now, Craig had worked with the Hayward City Manager's Office to host beer festivals on Main Street since 1997, including a single IPA festival. But heading into the new millennium, he noticed a handful of breweries experimenting with double IPAs. Now, why not host a festival and competition for them? Now, the first edition included craft beer community pillars like Sonoma County's Bear Republic Brewing Company, Oregon's Rogue Ales and Spirits, and San Diego's Stone Brewing.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Yeah, if you like Rogue Ales, which actually those are pretty good. Anyway, the yearly event became a de facto industry convention where brewers drink and talk shop. With rounds of judge tastings, it's also allowed breweries like Berkeley's Fieldwork Brewing Company, and there does not exist out of Paso Robles, to gain some early recognition. Now, meanwhile, I'd rather drink something other than an IPA, but that's just my opinion, man.
Oh, yeah, IPAs are fucking gross.
Yes, exactly. Well,
I know that's probably going to trigger the head troll, but sorry, not sorry. IPAs are just fucking rough.
Yeah, one of the breweries in Wisteria Lane, the Seven Seas Brewery, did the Balls Deep Double IPA, and I think I used to like it, but I don't think I like it anymore. But it was I've spoken of this place. Yeah, well, they were founded on my birthday in like 2009, so we share a birthday, so that's about the only thing. But you know what? I think we're at the last call.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh God!
Well, you know what?
We actually got a final voicemail.
Yes, we did, and so we're gonna play this final voicemail.
So, bath or shower? Three of my FC members said shower, with one of them saying, "I haven't had a bath in so long, I don't even know what one is." As for me, I don't give a fuck. Shower, bath, go for both of them. In fact, you can even do both at the same time. They do make things like that. I've got a raging headache. My sinuses have gone to shit, and I'm just coming off of a 5-day thing of fucking prednisone. You want to know what I want? I want a snow bath. I want to go outside, throw myself into 6 feet of snow, roll around butt-ass naked, and then just lay there and make angels. There. Snow bath. Love y'all. Bye, come by.
I come by.
God, I'm turned on now. I gotta go.
Well, oh my God.
The great flood of 2025 occurred when Dame Bemrose went outside to make naked snow angels and melted all the fucking snow in Washington. Because she's that hot.
Oh. Okay.
She is her own global warming event. That woman is special. She's a national treasure, and we love her. Thank you, Dame Bemrose.
Yes, that is amazing. Now, okay, so I think that was it. I think that was our. No, we have one more story. We have a story.
We do, yeah. And this one, I love the fact you gave this one to me, because a woman had sex with 1,000 men for nothing.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Now, an OnlyFans thought who allegedly banged over 1,000 men in the space of 12 hours in an attempt to gain more subscribers can't even post the video on the platform, meaning she essentially carried out the stunt for nothing.
Dumbass.
OnlyFans creator Bonnie Blue posted a video on social media bragging about breaking the most disgusting world record in history, claiming that a total of 1,057 men had their way with her. OnlyFans has banned the video because it can't verify the age of all of the participants.
Ta-ta there, retard. He didn't follow proto, buddy. You're done.
Now, because the footage has never seen the light of day, many OnlyFans comers are suggesting the entire stunt never happened. Now, some might call it the ultimate anticlimax.
Yeah, that's where you get the play the losing horn from the Price is Right. You know?
Well, here's what gets me. So you chopped the shit out of this, but if I remember correctly, it said that each guy had his dick in her for like, what, 41 seconds?
Yeah, 43 seconds.
Come on, guys. Give Phoenix a bone over here. Take that any way you want it. Shut the fuck up. Help me out here. What can you do in 43 seconds? Not a goddamn thing.
No.
In 43 seconds, depending on your stroke speed or your thrust speed, okay, you're either getting a whole lot of jackhammering done and busting a nut in this whore, or you're just getting your dick wet and then disappointed unless you got somebody on the side that's sucking and fucking these dudes off after they fucking dick her down for a whole 43 seconds. Come on, ladies. We're worth more than that.
Yeah, and Sir Bemrose is right. The logistics of that, I don't even want to know. I mean, that's just, yeah. I'm sorry. That's just, no. No. I think, you know, I'm seriously.
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
Okay, well, you know what? I actually hit the wrong button. I gotta hit this
button. Did you really?
Yeah, I hit this button. This is a button I need to hit.
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Yeah, we gotta go. I had to go. I hit the wrong set of clips to end this thing, right? So I'd like to thank you all for coming to episode 171 or coming on with whatever, you know, whatever, however you go.
They're coming all over the place.
Yeah, episode 171 of The Lotus Effect. And stick around for Studio 33. But yeah, I mean, really, if it's not obvious by now.
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back, swoosh, and that's the game!
Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You're cool, and fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.